and welcome. This is Behind the Mic Radio, and I'm your host, Dawn Mack, and it's so good to have you with us tonight. I hope everyone is doing well on this Friday Eve, which I love Thursdays because they are always the precursor to a wonderful weekend, and I am certainly stoked about mine, and I hope that you are as well. And tonight, I have a guest. Our guest is an accomplished executive chef, and I'm so very excited about having him on, because when you find out what kind of chef he is, I think you're going to be very, very intrigued and interested. He is no stranger to the culinary world, and having prepared culinary delights for movie sets and model shoots and commercials, he is an avid dog lover as well, and having paired his love of dogs with his love of cooking, he has created a neat, innovative way to bring the best in pet nutrition to homes across America. And he has been featured in Whole Foods, Spark stores, and many more. He is known and loved by dogs and fans by his popular moniker, the Dog Chef. And tonight, we welcome Kevin Matthews. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic.
Great, and thank you so much for being here. We are glad to have you. I've been excited about this interview ever since we lined it up, because I personally, having a dog, I want to find out all about, you and what you do. And I guess the best way to do that is just to kind of start at the beginning and ask you some questions about how you got into cooking and if you've always loved to cook and just kind of what led you to becoming a chef.
Well, actually, to be honest, my first start in cooking was about 8 to 10 years old. I used to go in the kitchen and take my mom's cookbooks and try things out when she wasn't home. That love went on into my 20s when I was working for catering companies, and then I moved to New York City to pursue a music career and fell back into catering. But this time I was doing it on set for, as you said, for movie sets, commercials, model shoots. And while doing that, I got my first Doberman Pinscher and had been studying what dogs needed to eat, and developed foods that she could eat that I knew would help her. And as I saw the change in her behavior and her demeanor and her appearance, I knew that I was onto something and continued to study, and now I'm basically on a mission to make sure that every dog on this planet is fed properly.
Well, and I'm glad, because, until I knew who you were, who knew? This was a brilliant concept. Because, I think one of the biggest, controversies right now about pets out there is food. It's the pet food that we have, on the market. And there's so much, hype and so much talk about which food is best and don't use this kind. At this time, you it's okay to use, but limit. I mean, there's just so many misnomers and question marks about what do you feed your dog. And so at the end of the day, and especially when you go to the specialty pet food stores and you're sitting there and there's 45 brands to choose from and you're like, which do I pick? It's really, really hard. And so for you to come along and create something that kind of simplifies it for the consumer, and it's also very holistic and, created of all natural ingredients. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that as far as feeding our pets goes.
Absolutely. And, let's just clarify something here. When we go into the store, you've got dog foods that are based on a general recipes. And what we don't realize is that every dog, every breed, they all need something a little different. And what I do is cater it to what the actual, when you say consumer, the dog is the one that's consuming. So I gear it to what that dog needs specifically for general wellness and also to cure ailments that they may have.
I think that's awesome. And I know that part of what you've done is you've spent, gosh, an enormous amount of time doing research on what is the best food to feed your pet, what is the best nutrition that your pet can receive. And, in fact, 7 years worth. And talk about how that all came about in terms of, you know, what, besides the fact of your love of pets and the food that's out there, what led you to do this extensive research, and what did you find as a result?
Well, my reason for doing it was very simple. My dog would not go near, and when I say not go near, I poured bagged food that was out at the time in the bowl, and she literally backed away from it. I took that bag back, I got another bag, and she did the same thing. On the way back the second time, I was coming back home wondering what I'm going to do. And I had the radio on, and I heard about the dog food recall, and those bags that I went to get were in that recall list.
Oh, wow.
So then I went to the grocery store and was starting to apply my knowledge. You know, we as human beings are also geared to eat foods for a reason. You know, we're put on this planet to eat certain things, and they give our bodies what they need. Vegetables, fruits, proteins are what it is that we need. All the other stuff that's made by man is really kind of unnecessary. Having said that, after creating meals based on this protocol, I noticed a huge change in my own dog, but a lot of attention was based on her. You know, people would, you know, I was living in New York City at the time, and people would pull their cars over to ask what I was feeding the dog. She was so shiny, she looked blue. I mean, this was a black dog.
Wow.
Energy levels that were through the roof. I used to, most people walk their dog. I used to take my Doberman Greta and take her leash and ride a bike with her and loop Central Park. And she, no matter how fast I rode that bicycle, she was always in front of it. And that continued until she passed away.
Mm.
So, you know, it's all about giving the bodies what they need. And essentially, what we don't know about these animals that we love so much is that dogs, the digestion starts when they put the food in their mouth. You know, we have a lot of, when a human being eats, they chew their food and swallow it, and then the stomach breaks it down. A dog, however, the digestion starts in the mouth. Those teeth are not made to crunch on things and chew. They're made to bite, pull, and ingest. And the acidity level in their stomach is naturally made to break down things that we cannot, which things like raw proteins and raw, I mean, we're also geared to do these as well, but raw vegetables and raw fruits. So when we talk about things like salmonella or other things like that, that dogs are supposed to not be affected by, what's happening is that what we feed them now, since it is not the proper food source, we are not reinforcing their digestive system. And we are essentially killing the enzymes, and that acid level is low, and it can't break down what it's supposed to. So when I do what I do, it brings everything back up to where it should be naturally, all those acidic levels, all those enzymes. And the end result is a dog that basically performs like an athlete.
Wow, that's amazing. Now it's interesting, you mentioned, you know, dogs are kind of programmed. They're built to, you know, to bite, to tear, and to, you know, and swallow, basically. And that totally makes sense to me now why my beagle always, each and every time, well, any dog I've ever had, just they look like they're inhaling their food. I mean, the minute you put it down, it is gone. And you're like, wow. But there's one thing I found very interesting. I think I either saw this on your website or your Facebook page, but you made a point that, you know, like your food that you actually produce for dogs can digest in as little as 4 hours. And, you know, dog food we get in the store can take up to 12 hours. Did I misread that, or is that on point?
You're nailing it on the head.
Okay.
So the system, when working up to par and feeding it properly, it does you digest raw foods in 4 to 6 hours. And it takes 12 hours to digest store-bought cooked kibble. And when I mean digest, most of that is not even digested. It just passes right through. So, and then you look at the bag, and it's got, you know, there's probably a paragraph or two that has words that you can't even pronounce. Those are all preservatives, chemicals, injected vitamins. I don't have to inject anything. Everything that I make has the natural vitamin content in it, because I am giving, you know, local proteins, local bought produce. So they're getting exactly, it's like I'm replicating what they would have in the wild.
Wow. Now, let's talk a little bit about some of your culinary creations for dogs. What are some of the ingredients that you use in the food that you prepare?
Well, it all depends on the animal. Some of the things that I use that are that people may think are a little unconventional, yucca, sweet potato, apples, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, did I say that? Yogurt, kale, spinach, broccoli, quinoa, all these things. Not to mention peas, carrots. All these things are beautiful examples of what vitamins are necessary to live, not only in us, but in these animals. Now, having said that, there are some things that, you know, animals cannot eat. You know, you can't, I mean, something like grapes is not good. You know, we know that chocolate isn't good. But actually, chocolate isn't that good for us either. So, you know, that maybe that's why we love it so much. The reason why animals cannot have chocolate is because of the darker chocolates have a toxic ingredient in it for dogs. And there's also it's also toxic to humans, but it's not as toxic to us. It won't kill us, but if you eat a whole lot of it, it will make you sick. However, if you go to these stores, and they sell these little cute treats with what looks like white chocolate. That is actually white chocolate, because white chocolate doesn't have that toxic ingredient. But, you know, again, humans are the ones that started dogs liking treats. Wolves don't walk around in the forest looking for cookies and cupcakes. And No, they don't. nor do they have thumbs to hold a pan to cook rice with either.
Yeah, that's true. And so now let me ask you, let's just say, for example, you know, someone contacts you and they tell you they have a dog and they tell you, you know, breed and they, you know, and they've been feeding their dog, say, brand A of dog food for a while, but they want to make a change to better eating for the dog. How do you go about, I mean, is it individualized for the dog? As far as what feeding plans they get on in terms of the food, or is it kind of universal what you prepare?
No, it's not necessarily universal. I actually like to see and feel the client. You know, I was just up the street at a function, and a young lady was telling me that she had gotten this dog from a rescue organization in New York, and, you know, she was told to give the dog this this food, I don't know what brand it was, but I got down on my knees and could smell instantly that it smelled like whatever the dog was eating, and it wasn't coming from the mouth. It was coming from her ears. This is where what people don't really understand. As humans, we release toxins through sweat. Dogs release them through the glands in the ears that produce wax, and also through the eyes. So you see a dog that has a lot of that goop under the eye and smells like earwax, or the earwax smells like dog food. That's exactly what's happening. It's trying to release all that. So I told her, you know, number one, you know, the dog was about 10 pounds overweight. And she was talking about her vet, and I said, well, if I start feeding this dog, your vet's probably going to be mad because you'll never see him again except to get, you know, the rabies tags and the annual checkup. So I like to meet the animal and see for myself, because a lot of people just assume it's a dog, it's supposed to stink, it's supposed to scratch. And the scratching is a result of constant scratching, or hot spots is a direct result of allergens in the food. Corn, wheat, soy, they all make that happen. So if you can imagine being allergic to something to the point where your skin burns and it won't stop, that's exactly what's happening to that dog. But their threshold for pain is a lot higher, and they want to please us. They don't like us to see them in pain, so they'll endear that. You know, a dog will eat through pain. So having said that, that's why I like to see the dog. If it's if I'm not close, if I can't get there, I try to gear what I can based on what the customer says, and 9 times out of 10, I nail it on the head.
Wow. That's amazing. And because, you know, I think a lot of times people, if they go to the pet store and they're buying the most expensive brand of pet food, they're obviously, you know, I've done it myself. I think a lot of times we think the more we pay for something, it's better quality. We're getting, you know, we're getting our money's worth kind of thing. And so we think, well, we're feeding our pet the best possible product out there. And, you know, and of course, if you have an alternative such as this, where you can feed your pet all natural stuff, which is, like you said, what they would find in the wild without all the preservatives and, you know, all of the things that are artificial about this processed food, then it's a no-brainer. You know, it just makes the perfect sense. And if we are not, you know, we eat a lot of stuff that's bad for us, but you used the term earlier in our conversation that it's so very true, man-made. Anything man-made, as far as food goes, is not good for you. You know, it's the natural stuff, the fruits and the vegetables, that is what we're told to eat. We don't always do it. But that's the best stuff we can put in our bodies. It's the natural stuff that is of the earth, you know. And the processed stuff doesn't break down well either.
You know, dogs have been the loves of our lives since man was put on this planet. Cleopatra had dogs. She actually had feral hounds. And a lot of people have never seen that dog, but it's on hieroglyphics, and it is well-known in Egypt still. And a lot of the reason why people in this country do not own that dog is because it is the only dog on the planet that you cannot train the instinctive drives out of it, meaning if you have that dog without a leash, and it sees a squirrel or a rabbit, it's going to go for it, and it will eat it. You know, that being said, I think that we owe these animals that give us so much this common respect, you know, to give back like this. And this is my way of giving back. You know, animals altogether, but dogs specifically, have literally been a savior to me. Without dogs, I wouldn't be on this planet. And, you know, I think they are part of my purpose to be here. And I won't stop until every person on this planet knows who I am and what I'm doing. And if I can, you know, if I can help somebody by doing what I do, that's why I do it. You know, big, huge companies are made to make money. And any way that you can cut corners to make money, you're going to do that. I don't have the luxury to cut corners. I would rather do the right thing when it comes to what I love. So I answer to something a little bit higher than what we see here.
So that's why. Well, now, one thing I wanted to ask you about, because as I was looking at your Facebook page, I saw a dog on there that when I first saw the pictures, and you're going to know which dog I'm talking about, I was just aghast. I was like, oh, my gosh. And it's the dog of pics that you had posted of a dog named Xena.
Right.
And I've never seen a dog so emaciated, and, oh, it just broke my heart into a million pieces when I saw it. But if I understood correctly, this was a dog that you kind of took in as your client and started feeding it, correct?
Yes. I saw the same picture that you saw and thousands of people in this country and all over the world saw. And I instantly searched for who had possession of her. A young lady by the name of Chrissy Kaczynski in Georgia had rescued her off the side of the road. And if I'm not mistaken, the picture you see is of her laying on the operating table. And she was literally unresponsive, meaning that when they brought her in, she just, that's what she was doing. They lifted her up. There are also pictures, I don't know if they're on my site or not, but they lifted her up and she could barely stand. It was beyond me to be, as a human being, to see, number one, that we did this to this dog. So I found out where she was and instantly started to think of a plan for her to get back on track. I had talked to the young lady and mentioned who I was and what I do and told her to, you know, whatever the vet tells her, that's fine, but I need her to totally follow what I say. And luckily, she did just that. Now, feeding a dog after starving like that is similar to feeding a human being after starving. You just can't, I know they're hungry, but you just cannot put just anything in their stomach because you can kill them. Simple as a human being who hasn't eaten or who goes on a fast, you can kill yourself when you come back and you put too much into your system. I fasted for 7 days one time, and I knew that when I came back, I had to start with something small, a light soup, and come back in. I didn't make Xena soup, but I had to think about what I was putting in and what her system could handle. So it was imperative that she had a high grade of probiotics that a really good friend of mine who's a creator of the best strand of probiotics in the world, I consulted him. And then I did what I do on the food side. And within they got the food. I shipped it overnight, and literally, I think it was the next day, she had energy again. And she was eating so much of the food that they said she just was, it's like her stomach was just sticking out. And 2 weeks later, I mean, you saw her hair had fallen out or whatever. Her hair was growing back. She had energy. She was showing signs of being alive again. And she's picking up weight. And, I was very proud of what I had done for her. But also, more importantly, I was very proud of what that dog had done for the thousands of people that have watched her progress. To this day, she's just a sign of how we can how quickly these animals can snap back. And knowing that a human being did this to her, she's totally forgotten that. She still loves people. And I've never met Xena at all, but she knows who made that food. Came from my hand. And she knows who I am. Every animal that has tasted my food, if they don't see me and then I meet them, they know exactly who I am. My scent is all over that food. And it's almost as if like I walk in and the people are like, wow, you've never met her. I have.
Uh-huh.
And they respond that way. So that's really the only thing that I need.
Well, and that is a miracle. I mean, to see that dog picture lying on that table, you just, at first inclination, you just think, I mean, had I not seen the other pictures to follow to see the turnaround, you would have thought the dog wasn't going to make it. And to think that you had a huge, you know, hand in that dog's recovery, all because of the proper nutrition. And, you know, and thank goodness that the pet owner entrusted you and listened to what you said, you know, because that, I think, made all the difference.
Well, yeah, you're totally right. And, you know, with what I do, there's not a lot of people that do this. And so I have a sort of an intimate conversation with whoever I deal with and let them know, you know, you're dealing with a human being here, a human being who loves people and who loves animal and has a love for life. And
mm-hmm.
I'm giving life back. So there is a certain way that I have to do that. And since it's coming from me, you have to follow my direction.
Yeah.
I'm not going to steer anybody wrong. These are all like my children. Any dog that I feed is like my own. And I take that just as seriously as I'm telling you. It's just like there was a young lady who is a very famous dog, or had a very famous dog, who had come down with cancer. And she contacted me and told me what was going on, and she was crying. And I said, first of all, I need you to do one thing for me. I need you to stop crying. And she asked why, and I said, because your energy is affecting your dog. And it doesn't know what's wrong, but it knows something is wrong because you're putting that out there. Put a smile on your face, listen to what I say, feed the dog exactly what I tell you, and she'll be okay. Do not go back to the chemotherapy. She did exactly what I said. A month later, she takes the dog back for an MRI, and it's totally clear.
Oh, wow.
I take this type of stuff seriously. Her thing was like, well, how did you know what to do? And I said, well, it's very simple. Cancer is caused by inflammation, inflammation is caused by things in your intestine that your body just is working really hard to digest, and it just can't. In addition, once that inflammation is there and cancer arrives or starts to grow, it feeds off of sugar. So you have to watch the glycemic carbohydrates and watch what you're putting in and how much. And after doing these things, it's very simple for the dog to heal because they're very resilient, as are human beings. However, if a human being goes to the hospital and a doctor says, you have cancer because you've lived a life because you eat bacon sandwiches, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person comes out of the hospital and feels great because they had their chemo, and then they start to do what the doctor told them not to, and then they have the problem again.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the last beings put on this planet with a brain to think for ourselves outside of our natural instinct to do something to give back to the planet. And we use that mind the wrong way, to just feed
mm-hmm.
ourselves with any kind of things that we don't need, whether it be negative knowledge, negative energies, bad foods, any, you know, comfort foods, all these things. And they're hard habits to break, but these are the things that cause us to come down with these ailments that now, because of the way we feed ourselves and we have these dogs in our lives, we think, oh, well, this is like my best friend, and I'm going to feed him like me. Well, guess what we've done now? Now
mm-hmm.
dogs have the same ailments and issues that we have. It doesn't make
mm-hmm.
sense that a dog has diabetes. It wouldn't get that in the woods.
Right.
Or liver failure, or any of these things. or pancreatitis. No, they shouldn't get these ailments. Cleopatra didn't have a veterinarian. She fed that dog what she was eating. So, you know, we have to think like that. What, you know, dog food came out in the 50s at the same time McDonald's did, as a convenience to us, to human beings, to make food accessible and cheap and fast. And if you know anything about, you know, the contractor's triangle that has good, fast, and cheap, you can't get all three of those together, you know,
no,
without a sacrifice. You know,
that's exactly
not going
right.
to be good. It's not going to be good and fast and be cheap. It's not going to be cheap and fast and be good for you. So we have to take into consideration what we're actually feeding our dogs is people food made by human beings as a convenience to human beings, so we wouldn't have to take the time that I take to do what I do. However, I don't want to cut that corner. I'd rather just do the right thing.
Yeah, most definitely. And when you prepare food, I mean, if you're doing it all yourself, do you have any help in preparation, or is it all done by you solely?
Right now it's all done by me.
Oh, wow.
Because I have, you know, I've got people in my sights that I'd like to train to help me, but I'm very particular about who I show my craft.
Definitely.
Because there's a lot of care that went into what I do. And I want to make sure that the people that I have that same mentality, that they're not just doing this, you know, just to make a couple of bucks. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I love what I do.
Mm-hmm. And in the long run, that's going to mean more anyway, you know?
Right. My reward is a lot bigger. It's a lot bigger than money. I know that, you know, all of the sacrifices that I've made to do what I'm doing, the reward that I'm getting from this universe is a lot greater than any paper dollar could give me. So when I leave here, when I leave this planet, my mark will be made, and everybody will feed their dogs this way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kevin, you are a true inspiration to me. And, gosh, I mean, not even from not only wanting to feed my dog, you know, this food, but also myself, you know, just take better care of myself and be mindful of what, you know, I eat. I think this conversation goes beyond the bounds of your pets. I mean, our pets, I think it is something that's across the board for humans and animals, because literally the majority of stuff we do put in, take in, ingest is not good for us. And we live in a world of convenience and, you know, fast paced, and we want quick and now, and we're grabbing just whatever because we think, oh, we don't have time for this or that. And we're really doing ourselves harm in so many ways that are so detrimental, not only to us, but like you say, it does funnel down to our pets. We want that convenience for our pets too, but, you know, and you're right. I mean, it's, you know, when I hear certain people say, well, my dog has this or that, you know, I kind of scratch my head and go, how does the dog get this? You know, but then when you think about what a dog is ingesting, it makes perfect sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you so very much for your time tonight and just sharing what you do. For all the listeners out there, if you would like to find out more about what Kevin does, you can visit his website, thedogchef.net. You can also visit him on Twitter at TheDogChef, which, by the way, I have a fun question for you. How did you come about the moniker of the Dog Chef? Was that something you adopted, or did someone kind of start calling you that and it just stuck?
You know what, this might sound kind of weird, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
I
was at a point in my life where everything was falling apart. And I was sitting on the floor of this house that I was renting, and there was papers everywhere, and I didn't know what to do. I couldn't find work, and it's like, what am I here for? What is my purpose? And I'm, you know, I'm not worth anything or whatever. And I started to cry, and my dog was sitting right across from me, and I opened my eyes, and she was just staring at me. And as she stared at me, I was getting messages from her. And the name, I picked up a piece of paper, and I still have this piece of paper, and I drew that logo out. And as I was drawing it out, everything that is happening right now was coming into play in my head, how the packaging would look, what the reception would do, how I would look, how I'll be perceived, how I was going to change the world with this concept. And I made a promise to myself and her at that moment that I would do it. And I didn't care what people thought about me or how crazy it was. I was going to follow it. So I didn't just make it up because it sounded cute. It literally came to me, and I've held on to it ever since. And it's funny that people call me that because it's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I never knew that thinking I was doing something with myself by cooking for, you know, Heidi Klum on set, and I thought that was the end-all be-all, but I honestly have more fun doing what I'm doing now.
Well, and I think you've got two passions, you know, your love of cooking and your love of dogs, and you have found a brilliant way to make it work so that it not only served your own dogs, but it's going to serve people everywhere and their pets. And that is, I mean, I can't think of a better way to do something you love while giving back to others in the same token. You know, that's just a beautiful thing. And I love that. I'm so glad I asked you that question because, you know, and it does fit. It has a great ring to it, as you say. And before I let you go, I do want to extend my condolences to you on the recent passing of your beloved Greta. And
Thank you very much.
I saw the pictures of her. She's a beautiful dog. And you could just tell, you know, from your post social media just how much you love her what a beautiful dog. So
yeah, she was really a beautiful spirit as well. And every idea that I have, I can thank no one but her. And I think, you know, sometimes people and especially animals come into our life for a reason, as protectors, as guidance, and that's exactly what she was. And she knew that. She also knew that her time was done here, and I could do this on my own now. And having said that, ever since, as I think about this now, it kind of cracks me up because I'm thinking of her up wherever she is, doing what she used to do to me when I used to drive the car and she'd be in the front seat. She was a jokester. I would try to shift gears and she would grab my hand with her paw and pull it off the gear shift. Now she's driving, and she's changing the gears for me. And every single thing that's happening right now, it's like they're like godsends. I feel her making these moves, and she knew she had to be where she had to be to do it. And
yeah.
I'm not gonna let her down. I hadn't. So I thought now.
Well, you know, thank goodness she looked in your eyes and gave you that message and said, you know, you need to be the dog chef. Hello. You love me. You love dogs and you love to cook. Come on, buddy. Get with it. You know, I could just hear now the whole moniker. She just, you know, dog chef. Come on. Bing, bing, bing. She got her paw.
And not to mention it was dinner time when she was doing that.
So, oh, well, you know,
like,
hey.
Hurry up and get off the floor.
I know she's like, you know, I'm really happy you're doing this for me, but just think of all the other dogs you could be helping right now, buddy. Come on. Yeah, I mean, that would be hilarious. But I'm so glad you had Greta, and I'm glad that you were inspired by her in so many ways and that you are doing something now that you not only love, but something that is going to be beneficial to, and I'm sure already is, to so many people. And so thank you so very much for your time this evening. Gosh, what an inspiring story, and I wish you all the best, and I would love to have you back at some point when, you know, great big things are happening, and you've got lots to talk about in terms of how things are going with the business and how it's growing by leaps and bounds and all the people that you're helping in it as a result. So thank you for your gift to the world.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate your time and the opportunity to expose what I do to anybody I can.
Oh, you're so very welcome. Anytime, Kevin. God bless you, and God bless Greta as well.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
All right, you too. Take care now.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. I tell you, you just don't ever know sometimes how an interview is going to go, and just talking with him over the last 30 minutes or so has been, one of the most heartwarming things that I've experienced in a good while now. There is no love like that between a man and his dog. And, and our pets are, they're the only thing that we can know that gives us unconditional love. And no matter what, they love us, we can come home after a horrible day at work and they greet us at the door as if they've never seen us and just so excited. And, our pets are really such a healing sort of, being, and they get us through so many things. And so Kevin Matthews is certainly doing something that is not only life-changing, but it is going to change the lives of pets and pet owners everywhere. So we want to thank him so very much for being our special guest tonight. And with that is going to wrap our show up. And again, if you would like to check out Kevin and what he does, you can visit him at his website, thedogchef.net. You can also follow him on Twitter at The Dog Chef, and also check him out on Facebook at The Dog Chef. And just look him up if you'd like to find out about his food for the dogs and, costs and how you can get it. Please contact him. I'm sure he would love to help you out. All right, everyone, enjoy the rest of your evening. It is Friday Eve. Just remember that the weekend is upon us, and I hope that everyone has a great weekend. And we will be right back here with you again Monday evening at 6:30 p.m., a little bit earlier than normal. So please tune in for that. Until then, have a great weekend all, and we will see you right back here again on Monday. Take care and good night.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect to Behind the Mic Radio on Twitter at BT Mic Radio and on Facebook at Behind the Mic Radio. Check out our website at behindthemicradio.com. Also, follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you can stay up to date on all upcoming shows. Every episode is available for immediate download upon the conclusion of each broadcast and, as always, on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.